Now I'm on. Sorry about that. Praise the Lord. Whew. So I have caught myself doing this. So I'm sharing a message for myself. You can jump in on the train. It'll do you good, too. But, you know, there's a Christmas song that goes, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And I would add, "Yeah, right." Anybody? Yeah, right? And then how about if I tell you there's how many more days till Christmas shopping can... Yeah, right. And what I noticed, I'm just being transparent with you, is I just wasn't in a great place. And it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, so the song says, and also my Bible says so. So I thought, you know, what is going on, Dee? And the Lord just you know, he's so cute. If you ask him, he'll tell you. And he says, "Well, you're letting this stuff steal your peace." And I said, "Well, you're absolutely right. I'm not arguing with you. Besides, if you argue with the Lord, you're going to lose." So I decided I was going to listen. And so I want to just share a real simple message about peace. And it's actually peace for tomorrow. Like tomorrow when you want to get up and you can be excited because you're going to have peace. So I preached myself happy just studying this and just letting the Lord just speak to me. And I just really pray that you would open your hearts. And if you're like some of us, "Well, I don't need it. I'm doing good." Good. Take notes and you can share it with somebody else, right? But you just might find it really is for you. So let's pray. Father, you are wonderful, awesome, good all the time. And you've called us to walk the same way Jesus walked on the earth, as being overcomers. And today, Father, we open our hearts and our ears and our mind to hear how to walk in peace. And for some of us, better than we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you know, I got to thinking about peace, and I thought sometimes it's just sort of evasive. I'm like, "Well, where is it?" No, or sometimes things happen. Anybody have some things happen in your life and then you're like, "Somebody stole my peace." At least I find that in my house. And sometimes I find that it's just stuff. Stuff that happens. And sometimes it's seasons we're in that that can steal my peace. Like, anybody have kids? Man, they can just cause me, I choose really, to have my peace just get stolen. Sometimes, you know, we're in different seasons. I remember for 30 days, everybody moved out of my house except for Jack and me. Or is that Jack and I, whatever that English word is, right? And I was like, "Yes, let's go on a vacation, change the locks." And then somebody moved in 30 days later. But it was a season. It was kind of short. It was a season. So maybe you're in that season. Go on vacation. Oh, wait a minute. We're on pause. Whatever. Write it down for 2021, right? Okay, and sometimes we have things in our life like you've lost a loved one. And you're in a season, and it's a difficult season, and it can steal your peace and your joy. And sometimes, some of you, raise your hand if you're in your best season. Yeah, every hand went up around here, yeah? 4, 5, woo! All right. So I just want to encourage you, whatever season you're in your life, whatever's going on in your life, whatever circumstances you might find yourself that season, God, I believe, and I'm going to show you through the Word of God, that He will walk you in and through that in peace. Everybody say peace. Everybody do the peace thing. Okay, just... Yay! Back when I grew up, that was really big. You know, can't break that like this. So, you know, so we're going to go through the Word of God, and we're going to look at just some key scriptures about peace that God has given us, and that we can walk through. He says you can walk through this stuff in peace. And yet, I know this particular person, and you might know some people like this. It looks like they've got it. They've got the job that they've been spent $100,000 in college loans with, you know, they got the job that's paying it off, they got the house that they wanted, they got this, they got that, and you're like, they look like they're in their best season, and yet I look at their life and they have no peace. Does anybody know some people like that? Anybody want to raise your hand on that? Okay, don't raise your hand. Okay, and I'm going, but listen, here's the thing. the people that this particular person, they're a believer. They've received Jesus into their life, and yet they're still not walking in peace, and a peace that God says He's given us and it's ours. So I want to talk about peace. And by the way, if you're taking note, write this down. God did not design you to walk not in peace. He didn't design you to walk in worry or fear or concern. I always like it, you know, when people have these little polite terms, but really, you know, I'm just a little concerned. You're worried, right? I'm just a little concerned. You're being anxious, okay? So God did not design us to do that. So I want to talk about how God designed us to be people that we can walk in the middle of stuff, family, storms. We're supposed to be able to walk through it in peace. Anybody want to do that today? Anybody want to do that for the most wonderful time of the year? I'm like, okay. So we're going to talk about peace. And, you know, I was thinking about stuff and seasons of my life, and I remember thinking one of the biggest problems in my life was potty training kids. Like, I'm cleaning up the floor, I'm doing more laundry, and I'm chasing them, and, you know, and I'm giving them M&Ms so they'll go potty. And I used to think that was a big stuff going on in my life. And I really was not walking too much in peace. I was just kind of out there. And then, they grow about 10 more years to that, or 15, whatever, whoever, I finally got potty trained, right? And they got driver's license. You talk about peace. You know? And I'm like, whoa, I am learning how to pray. Anybody? Oh, man. I learned to pray when my kids were teenagers. I thought I knew how to pray, but I really learned how to pray. So, you know, we all go through seasons and stuff and circumstances in our life. But I'm telling you, in every season, okay, we are supposed to walk through it in peace. We're supposed to walk through every season, and you know, and let me tell you, seasons change. So one of you raised your, four of you raised your hand going, I'm in a good place, I'm in a good season. Well, seasons change, okay? So we want to be able to walk through those seasons in peace, all right? Anybody in one of those seasons and you're like, if tomorrow it's over with, thank you, Jesus. Anybody in one of those seasons right now, like, please be over with by the time I wake up, all right? So, yes, it may not be over with, but God will help us walk through it in peace, all right? And we should be people of peace. So I want to open up with a scripture. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, Isaiah chapter 9. They'll put it up on the screen. If you're taking notes, write it down. It is like the wonderful Christmas stuff all mushed in there, all right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 goes like this, and I'm reading this out of the New Living. For a child is born to us. Who's he talking about? Jesus, yeah. By the way, this is the prophet Isaiah, and he's writing a prophecy for the future. Man, I can't even write a grocery list for tomorrow some days, okay? You know? And here he is because God has spoken to him and downloaded him, and he's writing this. So this is the future, and we're the guys in the future. So again, for a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the government and its peace will never end. Praise God. Praise God. So I look at that, and I don't know about you, but you know what I can see right there? That God designed it that when Jesus came to this planet, he was going to bring peace. I mean, that's the way I'm reading it. God designed it when Jesus left heaven, came to this planet, he was going to bring peace. So this is the plan. This is the design. Now, if you are lacking peace, like I was maybe last week, this is a good message for you. Amen? All right? And if you're in turmoil, like your stomach's going here, the turmoil may be out here, but guess what? It is not supposed to be in here. It's not supposed to be just mucking up your brain. Okay? And if you've got situations and storms all around you, they're not supposed to be in you. Amen? They're not supposed to be in you. And how many of you have ever been on a boat?
They're on a boat, and the boat's good when it's on the water, and it's good as long as the water doesn't get in the boat. If you start taking water, guess what? Not good, right? Same thing with us. All right, we are people, we are containers, and we are singing the song, the light has come, we are the light. So as long as we, and listen, stuff, circumstances, potty training, teenagers driving, COVID shutting things down again, as long as those things don't get in us, we can walk in peace. But as soon as you let that stuff fill you, guess what? You're sinking. And most of us aren't looking pretty. Right? You're just not looking pretty when that happens. So I want you to know that God made a way that whatever's going on in your life, the stuff, the happenings, it doesn't matter. God made a way that we can walk through this with peace. And I want to be peace because, number one, I am just nicer to be with. Some of y'all seen me when lady's not doing good, all right? So I'm working on this. There are days I'm just doing good, and I'm reminding myself, okay? So first, if you're taking notes, let's talk about people who have no peace. Let's recognize them. Okay, most of you are like, we know who they are. Okay, so open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew 6, verse 31. We're going to talk about people who have no peace. What do they look like? So Matthew, right here, this is Jesus talking. And you know what? I got a little bit smarter. If Jesus is talking, I think I should listen. And I might even do what he says, all right? So Jesus is talking, and listen to what he says. He says, excuse me, verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Okay? So what is he saying, everybody? Don't worry. Pretty easy directions. Write that down on your notes. Don't worry, all right? So the thing that I've figured out about worry, as soon as I get into worry, it's peace just downstream. Peace out the window. Peace, right? Anybody ever seen worry just do that to you, all right? So when I start worrying about my kids, when I start worrying about grandkids, when I start worrying about finances, then when that starts happening, peace stops in my life. And some of you are like, yeah, you should see her face. It's real obvious. Or better yet, you should listen to what she just said. It's real obvious. Or better yet, you personally should just take a thermometer on your inside, all right? So when you get into those places of worry, peace just stops, all right? So let's read the next part, verse 32. These things dominate, so the things like, what are we going to do, what are we going to do? Okay, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all that you need. Okay, so he's saying when you start walking around and worry, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? How's this going to happen? And he says you start doing the wondering. How are we going to get the mortgage paid? How is this going to happen? He's saying that the people that do that are the ones that don't know God. So that's not us, right? Don't raise your hand, okay? He's saying that, I'm reading it, right? That's the way of people who don't know God, who don't know Jesus. And then he says the best part, for you all that know Jesus, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So how many of you are glad that God already knows what you're going through? Right? You're going through something, and he didn't wake up and go, oh my gosh, I'm so surprised. Oh, I'll have to think of something to help them out. No, you never catch God by surprise. He already knows what you're going through, and it says right here that he'll supply your need for whatever you're going in. So if I know that, if I believe that, then I should just be at peace. Yeah, amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Read verse 33. But seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, or right, and he will give you everything you need. Now watch this, verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. If you're taking notes, I got a cutie. Write this one down. Worry is an awful investment of your time. Yes, it's bad. Okay, now, all you moms and grandmas, myself, you know, we kind of have a bad reputation. We can be known as professional worriers. All right, and it's not a good compliment. I remember this wasn't me. I'm going to make up a story here, guys. It's not me. A friend of mine said to their mom about their grandkids, "Hey, they're swimming today." So my friend was telling his mom, "The kids are all swimming today," and she calls up every hour. "Hey, how you doing? How are the kids?" "Ma, they're fine." She calls her up again. "Hey, how you doing? What are you doing?" "Ma, they're fine." Okay? What is she really doing? Yeah. Okay. All right? So here's another thing. And this is just not female gender. We do this. We kind of candy coat worry with prayer. All right? We kind of candy coat worry with prayer. Like, "Oh, I'm praying." Yeah, well, how come your stomach is churning? You're not in peace or faith if you're like, okay? So that's not a good place. That's worrying. That is worrying, all right? Now, the Bible says that there's a peace that comes from God that passes all understanding. It's found in Philippians, and we'll talk about it later, okay? So you don't have to worry if you really, really believe it. Now, I'm working on it. I did really good Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Okay, we're not there yet. Alrighty, so, if I really believe that the peace that passes all understanding guards my heart and all that, then I will say, "You know what? I'm going to trust you. Matter of fact, you can have this. I'm going to believe that this situation, you're going to turn it around, or you're going to bring this about." And that's it. All right? That's God, you can take care of it. God, you can take care of it. By the way, how many of you know that God can take care of it better than you? Yep, he sure can. Now, think about this. If tomorrow comes and you're worrying about it today, if tomorrow's going to come, but you're worrying about it today, right? And nothing happens tomorrow, then you're just worried about nothing. Time waster, right? Oh, well, Pastor D, what happens if it comes and it happened like I thought? Well, you just worry twice. Just wasted twice time, alrighty? Alrighty. And maybe you now start popping those Tums because your stomach's all the time. Or maybe, this is what you got because you did all that twice. You stayed up all night. And now you got bags in your eyes, you're grouchy, and you're sucking on coffee. Oh, good for you, all right? But come on, that's not the place. God did not design us to worry. You are not made to worry, all right? Praise God. And so listen to this one. Turn over to 1 Peter. This is the Peter the disciple. And later, Peter the apostle. And Peter was, when he walked on the earth with Jesus for 3.5 years, he was kind of one of the big three. You know, Jesus would do a lot of things with the 12, and then he had 70 and such like that. But then he had the three that he took with him on special meetings. You were special. You got to go to these meetings. And even in all that, Peter did some, man. He just wasn't always just picture perfect. Then Jesus died, and you know, and he received Jesus personally in his life. We would say he got born again. But listen to what it says in 1 Peter 5:7. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. This is Peter. This is the guy that walked with Jesus and learned a few things. Ready? He's saying this: "Cast the whole of your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." I don't know about you, but you know what he just said? He didn't say, "Well, you know, some of those are too big. You should hold on to them. I can take care of the little ones." No. He said, "Cast all your anxieties, all your fears." And you know that polite word, which really means worry? "All your concerns." All right? This is Peter. He learned a few things. So I want to learn a few things, all right? Now, I can tell you, I found out God handles things better than I do. Anybody else found that out? God handles things better than I do? Praise God. So why do I think I could do a better job hanging on to these, staying up all night, just spazzing out, all right? So how about, I was thinking about this. So I'm cleaning the shed. I was doing that a couple weeks ago. And there's big spiders in there. Okay? And I usually don't give a darn. Okay? But all of a sudden I put my hand in something and this thing... So I did the girl scream and I jumped. But I've heard guy screams, so don't you go looking at me like that. All right? And let's just make up a scenario. So I got bit by a poisonous spider. Let's just pretend. Okay? And then I call Pastor Sherry over. And she goes, Ma, I called 911. They're coming. And they come and they have the antidote. And you say, I got this. I can handle this. Dumb. Right? Okay. That's what God says about us. Listen, the spiders just come out and whatever. How about you go, God, you can have this. God, you can have the thing that's trying to suck my peace out of life. You know, the kid's situation, finances, a person you work with situation. I don't know, whatever, God, you can have this. I'm not going to worry about this. Because you are smart, smart, smart. Amen? Praise God. All right. People always say, oh, don't worry about it. Oh, don't worry about it. And here's Pastor D doing a message about, don't worry about it. How about we focus not on the don't worry? How about we focus on how to walk in peace? All right? So we're going to switch gears. We're going to get off of that. And even though you're going, I'm not going to worry, 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 I'm not going to worry about it. But you know what? I know you said not, but you're still talking worry, 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 worry. So how about we just switch gears and let's talk about how to walk in peace. Sound good? How to walk in peace. So that's what we're going to do. Praise God. And then, this is when I do this. If you don't get a hold of not walking in worry, you know, if you don't learn to stop it, it just gets bigger in your life. It just gets bigger. It will start to control you. Every situation that storms, anything that happens, it just takes over and it just pushes you down, burdens you, and it's just not pretty and it's not good on you, all right? So, doing it to me too. Okay, so don't worry. Don't worry about it. So, if you're taking notes, write this down. How do we walk in peace? How do I walk in peace, all right? How do I walk in peace in the middle of, I got this situation going on, I've got this office thing happening, I got this finance thing going on, how do I walk in peace? Ready? Praise God. We're going to read Philippians 4:6. How do we walk in peace? Because this is going to give us the answer. Philippians 4:6. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. And this is where I used to go, yeah, right. But I'm smarter today. I'm going, yes. All right? Be saturated in prayer, even though each day... be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace. Everybody say, wonderful peace. Right there would be good. We could go home, but we're not. The wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. So, keep your thoughts continually fixed on what is authentic and real and honorable and admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. And verse 9, follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Okay, so first and foremost, God is a God of peace. He is not a God of turmoil. He's not a God of, okay, that's not who He is. And he's not a God like, you know, I'm just going to make you a little bit nervous before I give you the answer. That's not him. He's not that. So everybody say, God's a God of peace. So we're going to take apart this scripture. There's about four things in there that just tell you how to walk in peace. How do you walk in peace? Thank you, Pastor D. Don't worry. But how do I walk in peace? So let's do this. So number one, the first thing on how to walk in peace is prayer. Such a novel idea. So glad somebody thought of that. Okay, everybody say prayer. Okay? You need to pray. And some of you, this is new. Some of you, you've been doing this for 30 years, okay? But I don't care who you are, how long you've walked with the Lord, or if you're brand new, you still need to pray. So everybody write, need to pray. All right? So then you go, okay, Pastor D, I need to pray. Do I do it just once? You wish. No. This says often. Listen to this again. Listen to this part. Where is it? Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. That sounds like often. And other translations say always. Always pray. Be saturated in prayer. Pray often. All right? So that's the answer to that. Now, Pastor D, how am I going to do this? Well, let's just be honest with the facts. I am not going to be always praying every minute of the day. Okay? But listen, guys, if you find yourself in worry, start praying, will you? If you find yourself being anxious, start praying. If you find, you know, that polite word, if you find yourself concerned, it's time to start praying, all right? But because if worry's creeping in, peace is going out. Alrighty, so, and again, I'm going to say this again, scientists have even said you are not designed to carry it. Your brain isn't designed, your physical body is not designed to carry it. So how about we learned how to roll it over on him, okay, and he can take care of it, amen? Praise God. So, we need to pray. We need to pray often, and here's the second one. We need to pray wide open. Pastor D, what do you mean wide open? Okay, this is what I mean. You need to let God know everything that's going on in your life. And yeah, I know he's God. He knows everything. But you need to still let him know. And you need to let him know. Such as this scripture where it says, you know, don't be pulled in different directions, overflowing in gratitude. Now watch this. Tell him every detail of your life. Yeah, but he's God. He knows everything. He just said tell him anyway. All right? So, you know, my marriage is just rocky. So I go, God, my marriage is really rocky, so I am just telling you about it, and I need your help. Or your kids are all driving you crazy, so you go, Lord, my kids are in crazy land right now. It doesn't help that we eat cookies 24/7 before we the holidays here. I'm just presenting this to you. Tell him everything, all right? And don't be one of those, well, you know, Lord, I got this little trouble, but you can just figure it out, because you know. No, because it just said you are to tell him whatever you need, whatever's going on in your life, all right? So this is what I do. Father God, I'm just opening up my life. You know, what do they say? I'm airing out my laundry. Just he said to tell him. All right? And Father, I thank you that you will take care of this. You'll meet the needs, and you're going to keep speaking to me. Amen. All right. So how do you have peace? Number one, pray. Number two, do it often. Number three, just be wide open with him. And this one, number three, is a goodie. With thanksgiving and praise. When you pray, how about you do it with thanksgiving and praise. Okay, verse 6. Don't be worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude, a.k.a. thanksgiving, right? Tell him everything. So, guys, we need to be thankful. We need to praise him. All right? And some of you are like, well, not just when the band's up here. All right? How about you do this every day? And now, I'm not a singer. Thank you. Don't put me up there. So I probably don't sing my praises. Except for I'm in the shower, I do that. Okay, sounds so good when you're in the shower. But I'll go like this. Father God, I just want to praise you that you're my Father. Father, I thank you that you loved me and brought me into your family. And I praise you, Father, that you got this. And I'm going to cast my care. And I just thanking you and praising you. All right? And I didn't sing, but I'm giving thanks and praise. All right? So if you're doing this just on Sunday, man, I want to tell you, every time I do that, and I do a lot through my days. Matter of fact, anybody that prays with me regularly, I start always with thanks. And then I go tell them everything. But I always start that way. And you know what it does? It just releases. What do they call that? Deep cleansing breath. It just changes you. So you ought to do it. All right? Praise God. So, we're to go to God in prayer. We're to do it often, wide open, with thanks and praise. So why? Don't you love little kids? Why? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? Why? Okay? Because he's a good God. Right? How about that? Why? Because he's a good God. How about that he's a faithful God? And he said he loves me and he's not going to leave me alone and he's going to take care of me. So I'm going to praise him. How many of you have read or remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Such a fun one to do for children's ministry. I'm telling you what, we got it good down there. By the way, there's all the teams that are downstairs, there are about 20 college and career and adults that do an excellent job. Yeah, you should clap right now. They're amazing. All right. I sing praises. And any of you, especially when I had four little kids all sitting up front, I'd be singing praises to all those teachers, okay? But back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right? Great story. It's found in Daniel chapter 3. Look it up. Google it. You'll find it. You'll read it again. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three Hebrew children. And the leader of that country, the king of that country, he was not in favor of God. He was not a God lover, okay? And he comes in and he starts demanding these crazy things. And because these three Hebrew children, who the God of gods was their God, they just said nope. Okay? Because it was against their faith in who he was. All right? They're like, we are not bowing down and worshiping you. That is, okay? So they decide that, and guess what? They get thrown into the fiery furnace. Okay? And usually we talk about all that happened in the fiery furnace, you know? But I want to talk to you about what happened before. Before this happens. So before this happens, they get called before the king, and they go, hey, king. They're probably very polite, because they were. Sir King, we just want to tell you that we are not going to bow down and worship you, and you're going to throw us in the fire, the fiery furnace. And the king goes, yep, that's exactly what we're going to do. And dear Mr. King, whether you throw us in or not, we have a God who's going to deliver us, whether he delivers us out here or he delivers us in the fiery furnace. So the king tossed them in, right? Everybody know that story? Tossed them in the fiery furnace. And the Bible says, you got to go read this in Daniel, that when the king and the people there looked in, how many children were thrown in? The children, when they looked in, they saw a fourth man. I could cry on this. By the way, Oral Roberts does an amazing message on this. Brings me to tears every time. Go YouTube it. But the Bible says there was a fourth man in there with them that looked like the Son of God. And commentary, some will say it's Jesus, someone say it's an angel. I don't care, because you know when I read that, man, somebody showed up. And the Bible said that they came out alive, and their clothes weren't singed, their hair wasn't, they didn't smell. And I sit around a lot of bonfires, and when I drive home, I get in the car and I'm like, oh gosh, my clothes smell like this. And I usually take my jackets off and leave it in the car, and I might even just get up and just go take a shower because of being around smoke. Listen, that was a crazy miracle. Yeah, all right? And you know what I like that? If we serve a God of the New Testament who I have a new and better covenant because of the strength of that covenant. If God did it for them, I'm confident He'll do it for me. So right away, whatever situation I find in, God, I just want to praise You and thank You that You're the God that never changes. I thank You that You're going to deliver me. I don't even know how to figure this out, but I am not going to worry, so I'm going to thank and praise You. All right? So, guys, you'll be in a sweeter place if you just go in thanks and praise. All right? So, back to Philippians 4. Here's your last one. So, if you want to walk in peace, you're going to be people of prayer. All right? And we're going to do it often. And we're going to do it... What's number two? Well, let me look at my notes. Wide open with thanksgiving. Here's the last one. In faith. Write that down. In faith. What do I mean by in faith? This is what I mean. We believe that whatever God said He'd do, He's going to do. In faith, right? Therefore, I'm going to trust Him. I'm just going to believe Him. I'm in faith, all right? So the verse 6 says this, don't be pulled in different directions or worries. And then it goes, offering your faith-filled requests before God. Offering your faith-filled requests before God. What is faith-filled? It means I believe I'm going to trust You that You're going to do what You do. All right? I believe that what You did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament, You can do for me. I believe that what You did for the children of Israel and walked them through the Red Sea, if You did got them out of bondage, if You did it for them, You can do it for me. I just believe I'm going to be faith-filled and trust Him. Amen. God, I believe that what You did back then, You can do now. I believe, Father, that whatever's going on in 2020, pandemic, I believe, God, You will bring me out not smelling like smoke, not being, okay, full of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Because I believe that You are the God that never changes. Amen? You know, sometimes you just got to yell that out. Amen. Okay, so how do we walk in peace? Number one, we're going to pray. Number two, here's the next one if you're taking notes. Number two, you're going to fix your thoughts. Okay, we're going to talk about thoughts for a minute. But let me read verse 8. So, keep your thoughts, continually fixed on all that is authentic. And then he goes through this whole thing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which are really good. Fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. All right, so thoughts. There's this incredible lady, her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. Anybody hear of her? Write that down. YouTube's amazing. I actually have a curriculum of hers. And she is a neuroscientist, and she deals with studying the brain, how the brain works, how you work with your brain. And listen what she wrote. Your thoughts actually take up physical space in your brain. Your thoughts actually take up physical space in your brain. Some of you, maybe, just maybe, you got too much of the wrong kind of thoughts stuck up in your brain. Okay? Fear, worry, anxiety, those are thoughts, they're physical. And maybe your brain's going, would you just kick them out of here, get them out of here, okay? Alright, now, it's up to you. Okay, because these negative thoughts, worry, all that, they're in your brain. Okay? And you got to do something with them. So I love that she says, thoughts literally take up physical space in your brain. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever gone into your refrigerator or your cabinets and you pulled out a can that says, 2001? I'm going to eat it. And then, okay? Smell first, all right? Now, would you be surprised that I did? No, all right, okay. So why are we thinking thoughts that are negative and we're surprised that we are anxious and a piece of work to live with? Okay? All right? How about, why are we surprised if we're having a
nonstop diet of watching negative things, hearing negative things, and it's affecting me.
Why are you surprised? Duh, Pastor D. Come on. Alrighty?
So, and by the way, church once a week is not going to make you a positive person. Though being here is a good place. Alright? And this, I read this, gosh, 2 years ago. They said the average Christian in America attends church once a month. And they expect to be positive. Okay? Thank God we are not people like that. Thank you for all coming more than once a month. All right? It's good. It's a good place. All righty? But here's the deal. We're going to have to do something with our thoughts daily. Not just once a week. Not once a month. Not once wherever I found my Bible. All right? We have to do something. We have to do something. And I love telling you what to do. But that is not, I mean, Pastor D gets to tell you what to do. But God's telling you, you need to do something with your thoughts. All right? You need to do something with your thoughts. All right? So, write this down. This is the challenge. What if I put my mind on a diet? Pastor D, it's Christmas time. I'm not talking about cookies. I'm talking about your mind. What if you put your mind on a diet? So, how many have ever done this or know people that they have to go on a restricted diet? Usually I hear about, if you've been diagnosed with maybe symptoms of high blood pressure, what do they say? You're supposed to restrict the amount of salt, right? So they are now on a restricted diet so they can live well. How about I put my mind on a restricted diet? I'm smiling, you're not. Okay? How about, like, these thoughts that always cause me to react, how about I go on a restricted diet about those thoughts? All right? And these thoughts that I always get angry at this, blah, 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 blah. How about I go on a, I restrict those thoughts so I'm on a restricted diet? How about we go on a restricted diet? Homework. I'm going on a restricted diet in my mind. Alrighty? So if you have thoughts that make you anxious, and how about you say, nope, not letting that one stay here. I'm kicking you out. Nope, not letting that one worry stay in me. I'm kicking you out. I'm on a restricted diet. Praise God. Alrighty. So how do we walk in peace? Prayer. Secondly, we fix our thoughts. And here's our last one. We practice, but I got a bunch of scriptures, so don't move. We practice your faith. That was really to Michael, so he didn't come up and play the keys. I was like, wait a minute. Okay. Because, you know, I get, Okay. Only the worship team would know. When I get to Colossians, you can hop up there. This is my Bible. I'm not going to do the John Osteen, but it is not a novel. I haven't read novels that much anymore, only when I go on vacation. But I'll read a novel, and I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. I read that once. Did you read that novel once? This is not a novel. This is the Word of God. This is to be a light unto your path. It is what will renew your mind, wash your mind, and keep you in peace. This is my Bible. Praise God. Okay? How many of you are on have ever done or doing read your Bible through the whole year? Read from Genesis to Revelation. Have you ever done that? You read through the Bible in the whole year? So a couple hands went up. So I used to do that. And you know what's good about it? It gives you the three D's. Discipline, daily, diet. All right? So I used to do that, and you know, that's usually you read a chapter in the Old Testament, a chapter in Proverbs, and New Testament, and you, by the time, if you do, you stick to it, the plan, the three D's, you've read through your Bible, so that's good. But in the last decade or more, I do something different, and I talk about periodically, I soap. Anybody hear me talk about soap? This is my soap book. I'll tell you about it. Soap. S is for scripture. O is for observation.
was with SLA. A is for application, and P is for prayer. So I'm reading through Matthew. So I'll read a chapter or something. So I'm reading a scripture, and then, whoa, I observe something. Not for you, but for me. Some of you are like, oh, that's good for them. I should go tell them. No, read it for you, okay? Pray about them. So I'm reading my Bible, and this scripture, what do we say? It jumps out, talks to your spirit, okay? So then I go, oh, how do I apply that to my life? And then I'm going to pray about it. And then I write it down. And this past year, I finished my red book in November, so I had to get a new book starting in December. I usually go through one book. And you can't read mine. Okay? So on such and such date, I read this scripture, and it spoke to me about da-da-da-da-da-da, and this is how I apply it. And now I'll pray, Father, thank you for opening my eyes and my ears to what you want to speak to my life, and help me apply this in my life. Okay? So why do I do that? Because then I do the 3 D's. I'm disciplined, and I have a daily diet of the Word of God. All right? And then it reminds me to stay out of worry and fear, all right? Some of you are like, I don't know if I could do that, Pastor D. I definitely can't read for the whole year, the whole Bible in 1 year. Okay, raise your hand if you can read one chapter a day. Raise your hand if you can at least read one verse a day. Okay, just start. And I really, really, really encourage you to write it down, okay? You don't have to. You know, some people say, oh, that's girly. They do journals. Are you? Nothing girly about me. I do it because I need it and I do better, okay? So it'll change your life. It has changed my life. But you got to do the 3 D's. You got to get, in order to get disciplined, you're going to have to do it daily. Whew, praise God. All right. So we're talking about practice your faith. That was the last one. You thought I got lost. I didn't. Practice your faith. Everybody say, practice your faith. We cannot expect to walk in peace unless, I got my mama finger up. I can't do that. That's right. Do this one here. Okay. We cannot expect to walk in peace unless we do the things Jesus is instructing us to do. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Well, you read all through the Bible. He says to read this. Okay, he says to read this Bible early in the morning. I will get up daily, often. Okay, he says to read this. And then the Bible says, and Jesus says, you need to apply it. You need to apply it. Okay, and it's one thing to read it. I love these people that read it. And some of them can quote it. Man, I know a bunch of you quote it better than I do. All right, but they ain't applying it. Okay, no, I'm not saying anything else. All right, so what does it look like if you read your Bible and apply it? Say, you're a man and you're married, and you read in your Bible, oh, love your wife like Christ loved the church. All the guys go, yeah! Okay? So, you just read your scripture, now you're going to apply it. What do you mean apply it? Love your wife. All right? Just a simple one. I'm going to pick on guys, because I'm the woman here. I can do that. All right? If you don't love your wife like Christ loved the church, I'm going to look at my toes here, you won't look like what Jesus wants you to look like in your marriage. Okay? Well, you don't have to, but if you read a scripture and it's speaking to you, go do that. And I just want to honor all the women who are married to husbands that are not believers, and I've seen them, I know a few of them that have done this, and they have stood for their unbelieving husband. Well, how do they do it? How do they apply that scripture? They go, I'm going to love him until he loves Christ. I honor them. All right? Praise God. But if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are married to a woman, put my 2 cents in there, you are to love your wife. And so you read the scripture and you're to apply it. And in ever you don't know how to love your wife, just ask them. Yep, just recently someone was telling me, and that smart husband, he just hugged her. That's all she wanted. Even though she went, okay? But if you don't get the right reaction, you might go, honey, how can I love you today? So this was Jack. Bathe 4 kids. Make sure the bathtub doesn't overflow and the floor cave in. That's all I want you to do. I just need to be loved. All right? So, ask your wife how to be loved. All right, Pastor D, moving right on. That was so exciting. Praise the Lord. So, Isaiah, we read Isaiah 6, and it said he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Old Testament scripture, let me give you a New Testament. I'm not quite ready yet. But turn to Colossians. Okay. Colossians 3:5. I'll give you the nod when I'm ready. I'll tell you all that later. Colossians, this is the New Testament. This is the Apostle Paul. When you get to heaven, remember Jack saying, when he got to heaven, but he's up in heaven, he says, besides Jesus, I want to talk to the Apostle Paul. Gosh, amazing man of God. And listen what he wrote. Colossians 3:15. This is out of the New King James. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God, whose peace? Rule in your heart. God's peace, rule in your heart. And I love this word rule. I always have to say this. The word rule in the Greek means umpire. So what does an umpire do in baseball? He calls the shot. Safe. Out. Right? All right? So this is what he's saying here. You let the peace of God rule in your heart. And if the peace says to you, don't do that. Usually me is don't say that. Okay? Right? And that's the umpire of peace. God's umpire of peace is going out. Right? All right? And then I'm going, okay, don't go to say that. And that's when I'll usually say, I don't have peace about this matter. Right? Now, I'm going to say something. Please, if you want me to smile at you, don't let that phrase, I don't have peace, be your excuse. All right? Some of you are like, what is she talking about? It's not you then, all right? Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know, we need you to serve at church. And you go, oh, you know, I prayed about it. I don't have peace. What? That's a lie from the devil. See, I had to take a breath. That's a lie from the devil. Because that is opposite of the word of God. 1 Corinthians, is that chapter 12? Where it talks about everybody has a place in the body. Everybody has a part to play in the body. And then Apostle Paul does this little jingle jangle. Well, I don't need the eye and I don't need the ear. And he goes, no. Everybody has a part as needed in the body. Okay? So when you say, well, you know, I just don't feel it. I'm too tired. I'm too old. Let the young people do it. What's the other one? Oh, I have a good reason. All right. I used to serve, but I don't have to serve anymore. Lie. Okay? That's okay. It's not from God. One clap by Pastor D. Okay. Read this now out of the Amplified. Okay. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you are called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God. So what's Paul saying to this peace? We have been all called to walk in this peace. His peace that he gave it. We're all called to walk in it in every circumstances of our life. In everything that, all right? Praise God. And we're supposed to do that only on Sundays. We are supposed to walk in that peace every day. Now, I'm honest. I there are days. Not too good, but I am endeavoring to not worry, get anxious. I am endeavoring to just walk in that peace and everything. Amen? So I want to lead you in, not yet. Okay, yes, you can come up. I don't like you. I want to lead you in a confession, a.k.a. a declaration, at the end about peace. But before I do that, If you have not asked Jesus to be your personal Savior, or if you have, but you're far from God, you're not going to have peace in your life. Okay? You have to do something. Right? You have to do something to have peace to begin with in your life. And the first thing is you go, Jesus, I need you in my life. Okay? And then right there, you're in peace. Okay? You got it. Alrighty? So, that's what you say. So, everybody just close your eyes for a moment. If you're here and you say, Pastor D, I do not know Jesus. I don't know him in a personal way. Or you say, Pastor D, I received Jesus, but I've just kind of pushed him over here. And man, I'm doing some things I shouldn't. And better yet, Lord, I do not have peace in my life. If that's you, and everybody just, you know, just real still, if that's you, and you'd say, I need peace in my life. I need you, Jesus, in my life because of what you bring in my life. And if that's you, I want to tell you, the Bible says today is the day. And it didn't say wait till tomorrow, because sometimes you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The Bible says that today is the day to receive Jesus, to receive his salvation. Jesus also said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through and by me. So if you're here today, I just, with all that I can say, today is a great day. Today is the day that you can receive Jesus into your life and have your sins forgiven, have peace in your life. And if you've done that a while ago and you've just, I always say, put them on a shelf and close the door, today's a good day to say, Lord, I want to come back. So if that's you, can I pray with you? And how about we all just pray this out loud, alrighty? I'm not going to make you do cartwheels or come up here, but you need to pray it from your heart. Just mean it. And if you mean this prayer from your heart, wow, changes everything, peace. So why don't we all say this, Lord God, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And today, I confess Jesus as my Savior. I put him as my Lord. And I thank you that I'm forgiven. I'm a new creature. Jesus is my Lord. And I have peace. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please come up and tell me. I want to get you a Bible. And if you prayed that prayer because you just kind of pushed Jesus, locked him in the door, and you opened the door and brought him back, let me know. I just want to give you just thanks and praise. The Bible also says that when one person prays that, all of heaven just goes bananas. They have a party. Why? Because someone came home. Someone's in the family of God. Amen. So we're gonna say, why don't you all stand up? We're gonna read. We're just gonna say a confession, a declaration of peace, because this is the most wonderful time of the year. All right, everybody say this: Jesus, you are not only the Prince of Peace, but you are my Prince of Peace. And when my mind is racing, when fear is raging, when I can't come up with answers, you are the peace. You are my peace in my life. And I choose to focus on your promises. You are my provider. You are my help in time of need. You never leave me or forsake me. And today and tomorrow, you are my peace. And I rest in that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody take a deep breath. It is so good to walk in peace. Amen. Turn to someone and say, walk in peace. Amen. Hey, we love you. See y'all next week. We have some special treats for Sunday morning. So come. Bring somebody. Amen.